As we are committed to biblical teaching and teaching through the books of the Bible, I was struck again by the importance of this morning in reading the morning newspaper. How important it is that we learn doctrine, truth, and that we have deep convictions, that we know what we believe, that we are not easily deceived, and that we are not persuaded by everyone who comes to town tooting a religious horn. Now, here is the full-page article about religion in the U.S. and shows where most of them are. Could you guess who this is?
Baptist.
Southern Baptist. Yeah, interesting, isn't it? Then the darker areas are Roman Catholics and different people, Baptist, Catholic, Christian Evangelical, Mormons, Lutherans, Methodists, and so on. But then the article is about the number of Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, and others that are coming, and says that the religious diversity is redefining the country. Well, that's true for some. And some people who do not have biblical teaching are swayed by these other groups that are coming. And so we need to be careful that we hold to our Christian convictions and see this as an opportunity to reach out to other people because they're here. So today we turn to a passage of Scripture that's going to teach us two major doctrinal truths. And we're going to look at those. Luke chapter 15, I'll begin reading at verse 11, a very well-known passage of Scripture. Probably among Christendom and the people of the world, they've all heard about this passage. Jesus speaking, and this is known as a parable, and the classic definition that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly or spiritual meaning. This is true here. Jesus said a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods or the inheritance that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all of it, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in need. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and that citizen sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced him much. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But the son was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'These many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' The father said, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should be merry and glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found.'" Now, initially, we need to say, as we look at a passage of Scripture that involves people like Old Testament or New Testament, whether it's David or Joseph or Joshua or the prodigal son or the father, the hero of this message is not a human being. The important thing in this message is what we learn about God, our Father. And so with that in mind, we can appropriately study the passage. Now, a parable is a teaching mechanism that Jesus used often. And one time the disciples asked him, "Why do you speak in parables?" He said, "So that seeing they might not perceive, and hearing they might not really hear." In other words, he is intentionally blinding some people to the gospel. Would God do that? Yes, he does that. It is not his intention to save everybody. He's not trying to save the world. He's saving his elect. So God does what he wants. This is a parable then, taught by Jesus. Now, to approach any passage of Scripture, the first thing we need to do is to find the purpose. Why is this parable included in Scripture, and why did Jesus include this in his teaching? So we have to find the purpose. The purpose of this parable is to reveal the grace of God in receiving Christians who have wallowed into sin. This is not about a sinner coming to the Lord for the first time for salvation. This is a son in the family who has strayed. And it could be son or daughter. So that is the interpretation of the passage according to the purpose. So now we get into the exposition of examining what is said here in order that we may learn the truth. So we learn, first of all, about a younger son who said to his father, "Give me my inheritance." And so he did, and he left home. Now, just let your mind get into the drama of this thing, of family life, and how young people and children grow up, and have a conflict about how to do this, and how parents have a problem of how to release them, how to let them go, how much freedom do you get, and how do you confront young people who say, I want my freedom. I don't like your restrictions. I don't like you because you're too strict. I've got to get out of here and get out there where there's freedom and wonderful, glorious life. And then they learn that doesn't work, because the only freedom that comes is when you face responsibility. Freedom never comes by running from responsibility. So this young man will say, it looks like he has a pretty good home. Certainly a very good earthly father who is wise enough and cares enough about this young man to let him fail by experience. And so we have the feelings in this home. And the young man speaks of his inheritance. And that's what he wants, and he takes it. And so he gets out there. The next thing we read is that after he'd gone to the far country, he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Prodigal means to be extremely wasteful. Wasting the material goods and really wasting his life. And so there he is out there in a different country, and he's living what we'd say in the world, just engaging in everything they were doing. And when he was at home, he had heard that in the city that they were racing their camels right down Main Street on Saturday nights, and he thought that really sounded like fun. And then after that, they would go to a rave party where young people have open access to every evil and immorality there is. Sounds good. And he's out there living in that kind of world. And he joined himself to them. And he's living in the foolishness of sin. He's living in the world. And then we read of God's grabbing his heart and turning him. But before that, he even got into deeper trouble. When he had spent all, there was a famine, and he joined himself to a citizen of that country in the fields to feed the swine. Now, this is a young Jewish boy. There's nothing more offensive to a Jewish family than pigs, because they are outlawed in their law. And here he is living with them, and would have wanted to eat some of their food. And then the Holy Spirit began to take hold of his heart and bring him a realization of what he was actually doing. And we read in verse 17, he came to himself, which we could read that his sanity was restored by God, by the Holy Spirit, bringing him that realization. And then he said, well, the hired servants have it better than I. I'll go back to them. I will repent. And I'll say to my father, I've sinned against you and before you, no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servant. So God brings to him a repentant spirit. Repentance means to change. Change your mind, change your ways, and change your behavior and come back. So in the New Testament, we learn a lot about repentance and returning. And so he comes and says, I will return, I will come back. And in that coming back, there is a confession. He confessed, I have sinned, and I am not worthy. Now, what's he going to find when he comes home? he's going to find a very good earthly father. Really a good earthly father who understands something of the grace of God. And as he returns, we don't find the father with thoughts of punishment and rejection, but rather we find this in verse 20. As the young man arose and came to his father, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and embraced him much. Now just put yourself into this family life. Here is the father, and he saw him when he was a great way off. I wonder why. The reason being that he was looking for him. Good parents always look for children, young people, to return. And he was looking with hope and expectation. And notice a thing that I think is important for family life, that when there is difficulty and there is conflict and there is a separation, I think it's important that parents never close the door and say, "You are out of my family, you are never welcome to come home." Keep the door open, as God has done for us. So this father saw him because he was looking for him. And when he saw him, well, he's a great way off, he had compassion. If you have your Bible open, underline those words. He had compassion. It's a big word. It's one of the most important words in all of life. And it's a word that is based on direction. A compass gives us direction. But it's also a verb that's used to compass, which means to surround. So the word compassion means to surround with love, with mercy, and with grace, and with understanding. It's big. Compassion is an absolute necessity in healing conflicts. Young people need compassion toward parents. Parents need compassion toward young people. We all need compassion toward each other. To give each other a little room not to be perfect, some room to fail, and some room to come back. This is a very good earthly father. When he was afar off, he saw him, and he had compassion. And it's a word that speaks of a deep inner movement of our soul. It's not a surface thing. He was moved with compassion and understanding. And furthermore, he ran to greet him. Isn't that wonderful? He ran to him. And he embraced him. And the thought here is that he embraced him much. There was a lot of hugging. Now the Bible says to greet one another with a holy kiss. That doesn't seem to go too well these days, but there's nothing wrong with a holy hug. And this is probably what was happening here. And this is the reception. What a reception for this young man in the family, but had strayed. Sometimes we call this backsliding Christians. And here he comes back home, back to his father, and this is what he received. He had compassion. He ran home, and then to top it off, there's celebration. It isn't enough that he just comes home. We're going to celebrate. And he says to the servants, bring out the best robe, the ring, and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf. That's the one we're going to barbecue. Now, the robe is a ceremonial robe. Not many people get this robe. The ring is a ring indicating family authority. You're in the family. The sandals are only worn by free men, not hired servants. And so by these symbols, the father is indicating, I'm receiving you back as a son, not a servant. And that's the standing we have in God's family. That's the way, that is our position in him. And so this young man, having strayed, comes home as a son in the father's house. And he came back without, it doesn't even sound like he got a lecture. How many parents have ever heard someone say, don't give me a lecture? Well, don't, it's okay. We all know about that. And so he didn't get that. It seems like there's full grace here, no conditions, and he brought him home. Now, all of this is simply an illustration of God, our Heavenly Father, receiving us who stray, who disobey, who do not live for the fullness of his glory. And at times it's as if we are dead and we are not living for his glory. And he receives us back to himself as he turns our heart to repent and to return. And the call is to come home. Oh, Christian, come back home. That's the call from the scripture. And so, as God turns our hearts, we respond in repentance, and we return, and we find full acceptance from our Heavenly Father. He is the hero. He is the one. And so we learn two great doctrines in this passage of Scripture. Number one, the grace of God in dealing with his people with full acceptance, the fullness of grace. The other great doctrine is the eternal security of the believer. The question is, Bill, do you believe once saved, always saved? Yes, I do. By what authority? By the authority of biblical truth, main passage being Romans 8:28-39, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, what does this do for us? It moves us to live for the Lord, to serve him heartily, to love him sincerely. And we don't have to wake up every morning, fear and trembling, wondering how God is going to treat us if we're truly saved, if we're truly in his family. No, that's all settled. Now you live for his glory in freedom and wonder, in full and complete acceptance. There's another son here I need to mention briefly. The older son. What a character. You know, I like the younger son better than the old guy. Look what he's doing here. He's angry. Because God is gracious. Because God saved somebody else. And he's so much better. Now this guy is no fun to live with. He is just a pain. And he is so legalistic and so moralistic, you just can't get along with him. And he's angry about the celebration. But notice this about the father. He has two sons. One of them goes bad, comes back home, receives him fully. The other son is acting like I don't want that word on the tape. So, well, I didn't say it, so it's okay. This is not good. But notice what the father does. The father, in verse 28, the man was angry. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. The father, this earthly father, is gracious to both of them. Interesting. Our heavenly father is gracious to all kinds of his people. We're not all the same. We don't have all the same behavior and problems. But we can count on his grace and love in receiving us. So the message to us today is, come home. Come back to communion with our Heavenly Father. Enjoy his presence. Enjoy the peace and love that is ours through Christ. And then as we live together, family life, neighborhoods, let us be compassionate toward each other. Is there anyone today who needs your compassion? Or a phone call, or a letter, or a visit would be appropriate to encourage and help that person in their life with compassion. Now this story speaks of two sons. But I want to add a third this morning. That is the Son of God himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, who makes all of this possible. God the Father, in his holy justice, cannot receive sinners except through Christ. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so wonderfully we worship this morning and enjoy his presence in full acceptance because of Christ our Lord. Let's bow in prayer to him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for preserving this record in your holy word so we could have it this morning in worship of your holy name. Now we pray together that you will move in our hearts today in the way that we need you to individually and personally, that the Holy Spirit will go from heart to heart and bring a blessing, bring a conviction, bring a confession, bring a repentance, and bring us home. Come home. Come back home. Work in our hearts as we need your power and your glory. And give us confidence to come to you on the basis of your glorious grace. Lord, take our lives. Use us for your glory, we pray, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.